The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave. America has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called America their home. America has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. The United States is also a very spiritual country, allowing freedom of worship to its citizens. Indeed, religion has traditionally played a large role in American society. Many of the original European colonists came to America for religious reasons. Religion still has a major influence on American politics and culture, more so than in other industrialized nations.
We now invite you to listen to the following discussion with Supreme Master Ching Hai and our association members entitled Spiritual Life and Professional Ethics in Washington, D.C., USA, in December 1997.
The next person I would like to introduce is from Montreal, Canada Center.
Je vivais une période difficile avec mon mari car il n'était pas d'accord que j'aille à cette retraite.
I was going through a difficult time with my husband because he was not in agreement, with me coming to this retreat.
Le dimanche suivant, comme je l'ai médité, la salle de méditation n'était pas prête, je suis sortie.
I went to meditate, but the meditation room wasn't ready, so I stepped out.
Lorsque je suis revenue, j'attendais la voix de maître au loin, et plus j'avançais vers la salle, je ressentais une grande joie.
When I came back in the room, I could hear Master's voice, and as I was walking into the room, the closer I was getting to that voice, the greater joy I was feeling and experiencing.
À la fin de la méditation, il y avait un messager pour répondre à nos questions. Il m'a dit, même si je n'y allais pas à la retraite, d'être heureuse avec mon mari.
A Kuan Yin messenger was there, and at the end of the group meditation, he told me that even if I could not attend the retreat, I'd just, be happy with what I have.
Je me suis décidée à écrire une lettre à mon mari, et je pleurais tellement que je ne pouvais plus écrire.
I was very sad. I was crying a lot, and I was crying so much that I couldn't write down anything.
J'ai prié maître de m'aider à accepter la situation et j'ai pu terminer ma lettre.
I prayed to master to allow me to, finish the letter and sort of take myself, back into a more calm space.
Lorsque mon mari est arrivé pour dîner, je lui ai remis la lettre et il m'a dit, ça me dérange pas que tu ailles à la retraite.
And when my husband came back that evening for dinner, I gave him the letter and he read it, and then he turned to me and said, it's okay, you can go to the retreat, I'm all right with it.
J'étais très heureuse de venir ici. Merci encore une fois de prendre soin de moi et de ma famille, maître.
I was very pleased with that, as you may know, and I thank Master for taking care of everything, including my family.
Okay, there's another question about being bachelor. In the old time, many of the master, even now, they're married and they have children. But they would advise you, like Saint Paul or like the Buddha, tell you not to marry. It's not because being married you cannot become a Buddha, or having some physical exercise with your wife stop you from become one with God. It's not that. It's just that if we are too indulgent in physical awareness, then it's more difficult to rise up as a spiritual level. That's number one. So if you exercise everything in moderate, it's all right. That is number one. Number two, in old time, and even now, but let's talk about old time, why the masters advise people to be bachelor, to be single. In old time, it's more difficult to raise a family than now. Jobs and facilities are not as abundant as today. Do you agree? Yeah, very difficult. And if you want to travel, to go to see a master, or to practice a retreat or something like that, and you have a family, it's even more difficult than today. Today, you can do extra job, and then you can leave the family at home for a day or two or 1 week, and you fly home very quickly, or you go by train. In old time, if you want to see a master and you happen to live very far away, you have to go on donkey, go on foot, and it takes months. Could be years. So how are you going to leave your family behind and discharge your duty as a spiritual practitioner at the same time? It's more difficult. That is if your family even let you go at all. And if your conscience allow you to do that. And to raise a family and to earn a living in the old time is very, very strenuous. We always talk about the good old time, like as if in before our time, everything is more abundant, everything is more glorious and more clean and pure. It's not true. If you see the picture of the old time, the photo or the painting, you see the chimney are smoking in the whole cities, right? And the horse manure is all over on the street, and the cows and the pigs are running everywhere, chickens and ducks are running in your apartment in New York, for example. Huh? Everywhere it's not as clean as today. And not to talk about the bathroom, the toilet facility and all that. You know what it's like, huh? In the place of the dustbin today, there's a place of the the night pot and all kind of things. Yeah, that was the old time. If you are single, it's more easy for you at that time as a practitioner. Now you can picture the whole thing or not? Yeah? Okay. Because if you're a bachelor, you can just share a room with anybody or just live anywhere, huh? But if you have a family, a kid, and before our time, you want to control birth, it's very difficult too. Today you have more facilities. If you want to have two children, you can have two children. Well, accidentally, sometimes three or four, but but at least the majority has the opportunity to change the circumstance, yeah, or to choose. In the old time, no, you don't. So if you have a family, you're bound hand and foot. And that's why the master of the old time tell you, better be single. Huh? Understand now? So many things, it's not just that. And then suppose, if you became a master even after being practicing for a long time, and then you have a big family, how you travel to teach people and all that? Yes, possible too, but you couldn't travel far. You couldn't stay long for months or something like that. There was a master in Muslim Sufis long time ago. He's very famous. His name is Mullah Nasruddin, if I'm right about the spelling. Yeah, he's a very funny guy. He has a wife and kids. But he also can discharge his duty as a master. But he was dirt poor. And he couldn't travel very far anywhere because he has only a donkey. And even sometimes people come and want to lend him, to borrow his donkey. So there was a joke about him. One time somebody came and wanted to borrow the donkey. And he said, no. The donkey is not here. Oh, he can tell lie too. White lie. And suddenly the donkey, bah! You know, in the old time, people keep donkey beside the house, you know, or behind the house in the small room or small stable. Huh? And the donkey, bah! And the neighbor, huh? Master, you tell lie? Mula, you tell, Mula mean teacher. You tell lie? The donkey just bay, huh? And the master was so indignant, standing up and saying, now you believe me or the donkey? Okay, so much with the master. And one day he went to a neighbor, you know, talking about being dirt poor. He went to the neighbor's house in the garden and plucked some of the carrot and put it in his bag. You know, plug it in and put it in his bag and ready to bring home. And the neighbor saw and said, ah, Mula, just what you're doing, plucking my carrot and putting it in your bag like that? And the master stood up and said, hey, yeah, I was just wondering the same question. And then you came. He also doesn't know what he's doing. Very cute guy. And then he also has family problem, even as a master. I mean, he doesn't talk that much, but just one or two joke, you know, give us a picture. Like one day he went to a shop. Then a shopkeeper sell a pair of sword, yeah? Very expensive. 50 gold pieces for a pair. And Mula just look at it and say, oh, what is this? Why so expensive? It's only made of a piece of iron, you know, at the most. Why is this 50 pieces of gold in the old time? It's very expensive. So the owner of the shop said, oh, Mula, you don't know. This sword is magical sword. When you go out and fight, they extend longer, invisibly, and reach the enemy and kill him. So the master don't say anything. He went home. And he brought out a pair of fire tongs, you know, that you use to pick up the hot coal from the fireplace. Okay, they call it fire tongs, right? Okay, he brought to the shop owner, you know, a pair of fire tongs and said, here, sell this for 100 gold piece. You know, and the shop owner of the sword, you know, sword shop owner said, why, Mula? This is just an ordinary fire tongue. Why 100 gold piece? And the Mula said, you don't know. This might look ordinary to you, but when my wife throw it at me, it can extend across the room 50 yards. And reach me without fail any time. He's very cute. So if you have any problem with being single, you remember all this. If you're single, you have problem. If you're married, you have problem too. But being a single, there's a little less problem, I must say. Huh? More freedom. And maybe more lonesome. But when you're married, you have more fun, but more trouble also. You know, you pay for everything that you want to get in this life. And you have to be willing, either way. Huh? So make your own choice. It's not that if you're married, you cannot become a Buddha. Hmm? Yeah. And about the person who talked about his own problem, the money problem, that he saw money-oriented, remember? Yeah. Well, that's a normal reaction of the mind if we are into something and intensively concentrated on it, yeah? The same if, suppose you quarrel with your spouse before you sleep or during that day, and then before you sleep, you didn't meditate enough. Then when you wake up, you still remember the quarrel yesterday. Yeah, it still disturbs you very much. Sometimes even you meditate a lot, and the disturbing is still there. So you just have to take time to let it go. But if you quarrel again the next day, and the next day again and again, then it will be very much disturbance. And then it's very difficult to forget it. So it is better that we try to construct a very harmonious atmosphere at home. And that's why I advise you to discharge your duty at home as best as you can, so that everyone is happy, including yourself. And then you can meditate better. You don't feel disturbed in the mind while you meditate, or even after meditation or during meditation. Now concerning daily work, like making money and discharging your duty as your employment required, it's very difficult to put it down. That's why you have to meditate every day to erase some of it. But there is a solution to it. You know, even I sometimes, when I meditate, I think of the problem too, because it was at hand. And it's sometimes pressing, sometimes very difficult to get rid of. Yeah? So what I do is I write out the problem before I meditate. Okay, this I will have to solve. That's just one thing. I write it on a piece of paper and have a notebook beside you or in your pocket, small one, so it's not heavy. And then a pen, I told you that many times, but I tell you again, this is more practical concerning your job. Because once you write it down, the mind feels better, okay, he's going to take care of it. It's already lessened the intensity and the pressure. When you finish your meditation, you can take care of it, you tell your mind. This, and then it ease off. And then if you know the solution, okay, now I'm going to meditate. You know you're going to meditate, but you know the solution to your problem. Like, okay, I'm going to do this, do that tomorrow to make more money or to solve that problem. Then write that down too. And that's even better for the mind to calm down. But during meditation, sometimes you have better idea about how to solve that problem, how to make profit. But not to take money from other people unjustly. That I don't advise. And during meditation, maybe the problem is still there, and then you have some clear idea what to do. And then you write out immediately on a piece of paper the idea that's come up in your head during meditation. Because that is maybe the master who answers you, who gives you the solution. So write it down before you forget. And also, once you write it down, you're peaceful, and then you can continue to meditate. So don't hesitate. The meditation is not only to become a Buddha, I told you. It benefits you in many ways. Give you peace of mind, give you a clearer mind for your problem daily, and give you physical purification so that you become fit and healthy. There are many ways you can benefit from meditation. It's not only to become a Buddha or to be one with God. It's just the byproducts are plenty. Miracles happen and health are restored, sickness is removed, and problems is resolved. So do more meditation. And during meditation, if any ideas come up very clear to you, then write it down. And like this, you can continue meditate later, and the problem is gone. Okay? Understand? That's it. Yeah, there are some of our initiates before. They became successful in some business, become rich and famous. Too busy, too engaged in socializing, in lobbying, in dinner party, lunch party, and meeting this and that high personage and famous personalities, etc., etc., and then more and more demand all the time of their time. and their energies, and then they come home, they don't meditate anymore enough, and the less they meditate, the more they are involved in worldly activities, and the more they are involved in worldly activities, the less they can feel inclined to meditate. And so, you know, the vicious circle going, and now completely successful in the world, use up all the energy and the merit earned from the last period of meditation in the world again. I have told you to be successful in the world, but not at the cost of the spiritual progress. Understand? Because after we leave this world, we have nothing. We cannot bring anything with us. So if we cannot balance our life between spiritual and material gain, we have to quit one or another. So the choice is yours. Anytime we should choose the spiritual progress before the material gain, of course. But I could not force you to make one choice or another. I just tell you the consequence. Money and fame is this very, very strong, powerful tool that the Maya use to nip us from our spiritual aspiration. So be careful.
Thank you for spending the time with us today on Between Master and Disciples. Please tune in tomorrow for A Gift of Love, Simple Nutritious Cooking with Supreme Master Ching Hai. Now, stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Intelligence of Animals on Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, right after Noteworthy News. May your soul be bright and your heart be glad with the joys of heaven.